Go ahead, Beverly, ask your question. Just a minute, Brian. Let Beverly ask your question. Her phone doesn't last long. See, you're not even ready, Beverly. Come on, Beverly.
You want us to sing a little? We'll sing. Oh, wait, Bob will mute us. We have to be careful. He's got us on the chain.
Okay, go ahead, Beverly.
You told me that I am in a pocket dimension. And
well, in and out of it, but yes.
You know, ever since I was 15, I feel like I'm not really here, so to speak. Would you tell me, like, what part of me is in the pocket dimension, which part is not? Because you said a pocket dimension is like having your hand in your coat pocket. Part of you is in the pocket, part of you is not. So is part of me, my being, in another dimension?
Yes.
Is there a way to get out of this pocket dimension?
Do you want to?
Yes, I do.
Is there a reason?
Well, it's really hard to function like this.
Well, you've seen me doing this fine.
Not really. Did I want to be in this pocket dimension?
Well, apparently.
Well, it was a bad idea. I'd like to get out of it.
Well, now, hold on now, darling. Listen to what you're saying. You decided to go on this trip, and you went there, and now you can't remember how to get back, and you don't know that it is. You didn't even know you were in a pocket dimension until we told you. So it must have been quite a flight. You know, maybe you should come down before you get too far out of this thing, because you didn't even know you were there. So, I mean, is there a spell? Go back and do the incantation. Do we need to get Agnes Moorhead to come help you?
I knew something was wrong. I just had no idea what it was. I just felt wrong, weird. You know, not here. I have been like this for 49 years, and it's, you know, it's time to get out of this shit. I had no idea before what was going on. Just no idea. I just kind of adapted to it and got by. It's just not the way I want to be.
Well, okay, sounds like fun. You ready to change it?
Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yes.
But now you do recall you're the one that thought this was a good idea in the first place.
Well, soon after I realized it was a bad idea.
And yet you didn't change it. You hung around with it for how long did you say? For 49 years or whatever that ridiculous thing called time is. Seems kind of tragic,
well,
silly, that you're arguing for the limitation of the majesty and the magic that you did. You're marvelous. You're over the top. Oh, no, you've had your chance, honey. You hold on now. You got it to the point where you decided you were going to be so powerful and so wonderful that you were going to create this little pocket, this little window, this little preposition holder that you were going to set in such a way and throw away the keys, the keyholes, the locks, the lock holes, the chains, the winds, the four seasons, the drives, all of Ezekiel and all of the Maccabees and every clue that would bring you back to your place, back to where you were, which you say now is better than where you are now, which you thought then could never get any worse than it was, because now is the only now that could ever be as good as it ever was, good that was good, that good that could be good. And now you threw all your things to work with away, and you're sitting there in your little pit of squalor wondering how to get back to God, or at least out of the dimension that you set yourself in as a safety note out of fear and derision that you could not overcome, that you also, by the way, created. That's the one you're referring to specifically?
Sounds like it. But I had no idea how to get out of it.
That's because you hid all the clues. You hid all the clues. Okay. Now, it's going to be a little testy. You got to have Bob to sort of mark it, because Bob won't know either, but Bob at least can come you back in 7 years from now. He can play you the little ditty where you can go, oh, yeah, there was a point of a bit of lucidity somewhere on this arduous path of Egalos, Maso Talamesete, Ikambolaso Shatabasa. There it is, Bob. Okay, come on, Bob. We got to help her back this side of the world, this side of the wormhole, insane in the pea brain.
Come on, Bob.
Bob. Did you diddle Bob out? Now, if you diddle Bob out, we're not going to understand. Don't be diddling on Bob.
Here.
He likes it too. He likes it too much.
The house is on fire. I got to run a radio show while I'm trying to bat down the hatch.
This sounds like that little section of Ascending Jupiter in that movie where the... Did you see Ascending Jupiter, Bob?
No, I didn't.
That little part of... You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, where she... The girl's... It sounds like Beverly. She's in a world and it's fucked up and... How did I get here and what's going on and...
Did she find
out
you,
about the other world? Anyway, and they're going through there, and she's getting all of her stuff straightened out, right? She's getting everything straightened out so that she can engage in the world she's in, but she's making it clear that she's not of it. But anyway, there was this whole part in there where this guy, like the tour guide that was taking her to all these places to get all this stuff done, it was Bob, and they even said it flat out. Hey, this is Bob, and he's going to help you with your ascension. It's right in the movie. You got to watch it. It's all about you, Bob.
Yeah,
there
I
you
will.
Go. Give you something to look forward to.
What's the name of the movie? What's the name of the movie?
Ascending Jupiter. I couldn't help it. I busted out laughing. Hey, this is Bob, and he's gonna assist you with your ascension.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Beverly, have you seen that movie?
No, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, because it's talking about your situation pretty much.
Yeah, Brian's been in this situation. It's so appropriate to have Brian on here with you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Same situation Brian was in. You got to look her up. You got to look her up when you drive into wherever she lives.
Chicago.
Oh, I just went through Chicago yesterday.
See? See how close it all is?
I delivered a load of BMWs and Mercedes up there in Milwaukee. And then I come right straight
up
down
there in
Chicago.
Milwaukee.
Passed not too far from me.
It could be a match made in hell. We ought to encourage this.
Yeah.
So, Brian, are you out of your whatever similarity you had to mine?
I'm recognizing where I am, and now I'm just I'm doing what they did in the movie. I'm doing what I got to do to get out of the mess that I got myself into.
Great.
But it goes even past that, I know, because, see, I hear Ion saying something else. Of course, he's not going to come right out and say it, but he gives these crumbs, right? He's slinging crumbs. You got to gather up the crumbs and make you a slice of bread, and sooner or later you get the whole loaf.
Now you got to help her. So she's still stuck. So we're going to help. Okay. Do you know what?
We're not here to help anybody, but we're going to help you.
Do you know what? Yeah, we are. Bob is. Do you know Eureka?
In California?
No. The show.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
It's a sci-fi show.
I'll get it.
Okay, then you need to look it up, and the name of the one that you're looking for is called Insane in the Pea Brain.
Okay.
Okay, say it back to us.
Insane in the Pea Brain in the Eureka series.
Which season and which episode, Ion?
Well, she's lost. Don't you get some place to look at something?
Now, this is a good point right here, Beverly. He ain't going to, it's in season such and such, episode this, and you can go straight. No, he's got to, he give you a crumb. Now you got to go gather it up and figure it out. It's okay. This is the rules of the game, I guess.
I can find it.
Okay, start around July 27th, 2009. Start somewhere in there.
Okay.
We're moving on, Beverly. We're moving on to the next person.
Stuck in a pocket dimension. She doesn't know what she is. It's in your inbox, Bob. You got to play Taylor Swift, and then you can go.
Okay.
Which Taylor Swift?
The one for Beverly.
Blank Space.
Had to meet you where you've been. I could show you. trying to see how this one ends. Grab your passport and my hand. I can make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever. Dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever. Or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over. It's torture. Don't say I didn't say I didn't warn ya. Boys only want love if it's torture. Don't say I didn't say I didn't warn ya.
Okay, darling, here's what you do next. Do you know what fleur de sauce is?
No, I don't.
Salt of the mayor.
Salt of the sea.
Salt of the mayor. Fleur de sauce.
Sea salt?
Well, okay, yeah, it is sea salt, but the fleur de sel or sal de mer, we like Mediterranean sea salt. Just get the bloom of salt. Go somewhere and find some. Own it. Use your money to buy it. If you have no money, then you are lost. It's not expensive. Get your money. Your money. And go somewhere that's not where you are. And buy sea salt. Okay? And you don't need to buy a pound of it. You only need a pinch. So buy some. Won't hurt. Okay? Take it back to where you are now, wherever that is, or wherever you think you're now is. Because you're in a pocket dimension you're trying to get out, right?
Right.
Okay. Do you have a kitchen?
Yes.
Do you have a glass?
Yes.
Do you know what water is?
Sure do.
Do you have access to water in your kitchen?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's what you do exactly, and it'll take you right out of your pocket dimension. But don't think for 2.3 seconds there wasn't a good reason that you threw all the directions and all the codes and all the way to get back away. You did that on purpose so you could never get out of your pocket dimension. And now you're saying you want out, and we say your wish is our command. So here's how this is going to work. You own the salt. Go buy the salt with your money. You go back to your kitchen where your kitchen is, yes? You go and you take your kitchen and you take a clean glass that's been washed and you fill it with water. We don't care. Just tepid water. Not hot, not cold. Tepid.
Okay.
Okay. Do you drink your water from your sink?
No.
Well, you are today.
Okay. Take it from the tap?
That's exactly correct, out of the tap, because you don't drink from the tap.
No.
And you don't need a gallon, you just need, a cup.
Okay.
Okay, you take the salt of air and you make a circle that you can stand in, so a little bit larger than your shoes. Just make a little ring of salt, of that salt, and then stand in that salt in the middle of it with a circle of salt around you. And you stand in the middle of that salt ring, inside the salt ring, okay? Now, you have the glass of water in your hand, and then in the container you have the salt. Take a little pinch, like a little pinch. Do you know what a little pinch of salt is?
Yes.
Florida salt. Take that little pinch of salt and put it under your tongue while you're standing in the salt ring. And some may stick to your finger, and that's okay. Don't worry about that. And enjoy the saltiness of that salt for just a second. And what you should notice is the saliva should increase in your mouth. You shouldn't froth at the mouth or anything like that. If you did, you got lye instead of salt. So make sure you get salt instead of lye because it'll foam. It'll foam you up. You won't enjoy it very much. So put the salt under your tongue and then drink. Don't kill it, don't do it like a shot, but sip and drink the water. The first taste of the water will be salty. The next bit of the water will be less salty, and it'll be sweet. And at the time you finish the water, it should be clean and refreshed in your mouth, not acrid or salty. Okay?
Right.
Stand in that circle until something happens or something notices or something changes. Either something gets on fire or blows down or the sun goes down or comes up or blows all the windows out of your house or rips the floor from the bottom or turns your house upside down or knocks on the hinges off all the doors in your house or a gas main explodes across the street or an earthquake shakes your house asunder or maybe something you got hanging will turn loose from the wall, or something that's sitting will blow over, like this little crazy breeze will blow through and knock something down, or jiggle something. So stand there until something like that happens that you notice. It can be huge. That's up to you. It can be monster, blow your brains out stuff, or it can be as simple as a feather falling out of a pillow. You got that so far?
Yes, I do.
Once that happens, then you may step out of the circle. And when you step out of that circle, you'll also step out of that pocket dimension.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Now, take a fine silk brush and sweep the salt up. Do not discard the salt. Keep the salt in a separate container.
A fine silk brush?
Yeah, like a fine brush, like a floor brush, a sweeping thing of a fine one so you get all the salt particles. Gather them up and put them in a satin bag and seal it.
It has to be a silk?
We prefer silk. But anyhow, take and you save that, like a sachet is.
Yeah.
Make it like that. And you save that salt, so if you change your mind, you'll know when you did it.
Okay.
How's that for never getting exactly what to do and don't know what to do and can't do it? How about that? Is that pretty good? Is that clear enough
like
for
it.
You? Can you do
I
it?
I like it.
Can you
yeah,
do it?
My only caution is the silk brush. I've never... Does it have to be real
okay.
silk?
No, it does not. It's just a brush, a very fine...
Just
a fine
okay.
brush, like a fine paintbrush. I mean, we could
okay.
say sable, but that's kind of crazy, too. It's something that'll pick up all the salt. Not like a straw broom or a whisk broom.
I understand now.
Not a vacuum cleaner. Not a vacuum cleaner.
Okay. Okay.
And your world will change, and you're going to have cravings for food you never craved before. The sun won't shine the way it used to. It'll be different from here forever. So, just saying.
Will it be better? Will it be better?
Oh, fuck, that's relative. Better got you where you are now.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
How about that for tactility, honey?
Eliza, you going to come on and read your letter to Ion? What are you, Eliza?
Yay, that'd be fun. Are we mutable?
Yeah, you're here.
You like mutations. Mutations are fun. You like to be mutable.
Which one? Let's see if she is this one.
Why did that have to do with Jack Safadi, Bob?
We'll get to that. We're coming up to Jack.
Oh, okay.
Nice timing. Good timing there. Great timing there. Is
bang,
that you,
bang,
Eliza?
Bang with the trolley. Thank you for playing Blank Space.
Okay.
That was nice, Bob. It fit right in perfect with the segue. You're getting so good. You've
yeah.
had a little bit of practice. You're doing so much better now.
Yes. Now that I'm the greatest DJ, I can rest in my laurels, relax, and even get better. So go ahead, Eliza. Read your letter that you wanted me to read. You know, just read what you wrote.
Thanks.
State your grievance before the board here.
As you know, Bob, I emailed you because I wanted to clarify something that happened.
No, read
week.
Your letter. Just read
and
your letter.
I think you
yeah.
The answer will be in your inbox in just a minute, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, last week on payday, I posted something to you on the Goober Snatcher that seemed to have rubbed Ion the wrong way. So my message to you was that I was able to find all the info that Ayn gave us the previous week on the Byzantine Empire, Babylon, Jefferson, Shadwell, etc., on the wiki. Well, I was kind of proud of myself for that because I had connected so many dots along the way, and things are pretty much just flowing in without much work on my part. In other words, I was grateful that I was easily able to find all the random names, places, and events, and they were all connected to each other. Well, apparently Ion misinterpreted my message to you as that Ion got all their info from the wiki, and they clearly showed their despair through their interaction with me when I asked about Kittiwitty and them bringing up wiki at every chance. Throughout the whole night and following morning, Ion made remarks about the wiki and Googler multiple times. Just have them know that I do not use the wiki to cross-check what Ion says. That's absurd. It's actually the other way around. Ion's words come before any wiki or Googler. And a couple of years ago, when the whole thing about Ion getting their info from the wiki came up, I was probably one of the very few who said that to think Ion relies on the wiki to give us any info is the most ridiculous idea ever. So please give this message to Ion for me. I already let them know. And you have to remember that Ion said they had to come down a great amount in amplitude to speak with us. plus they mirror people's emotions and all other things that we haven't considered on the reasons why Ion can be cross at times or misoverlay things. So just give him this message, Bob. Thanks.
Do you have a comment on that, Ion? Did she perceive your irritation, Ion?
No, there was no irritation. It was the point. That was the point. It's no problem. The issue then becomes that we have to put it in the Wikipedia to compare, which is not your fault, darling. That is damn Bob's fault, and we're still mad about that because Bob made us put everything in tippy-tippy-tap-tap, and all little made of houses made of ticky-tack that are all in a row, boxes all the same, boxes made of ticky-tacky. He doesn't even like that song, but he made us have to do that so you could have some viable reference to refer. You have to compare a bias to have a bias. And you're saying you didn't have a bias. You were just applauding the point that that's where the information also agrees with the looky box. Karen does the same thing that says, oh, well, it's in the Wikipedia. Well, then everything is, and so we'll just make it be about the Wikipedia, and that's fine with us, because if that's what it takes to get you back to God, we don't care if it's in the sewage bin. It's all right with us.
Well, Ian, we use the wiki to develop or further find info.
We know, and it's not right
about.
Because we. I know, but see that what you're comparing to, you're taking Bob's notes and comparing it to what Bob says, comparing it to Bob's notes, and so it's kind of like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's hidden in a peat bog. Retrieved the Vogons. They use the empirical reference that they create themselves, that they hide in themselves, that they put out in frame size, that Donald Trump is able to believe his own press, that his own press is now being gauged. You can look on his own press to see his own website to see what his press is. So if you have to validate everything that you know based on what you already know, that you already knew that you knew, that you knew that you know, then that wasn't a very good bias. Because the bias can't come into a very good place. Because if it's based on your own press, you're always going to convince yourself that you're right. And it's still not your fault, sugar. And we're not cross. We're not cross at all. We're just saying that the bias that you're gauging by isn't a good bias because we can change it. We've up it. It's like rewriting history. We do it all the time.
Well, this is a form. It's what we're using till we have or till we know how to access it.
Then when we have an opinion about it, don't ever feel cross or offended or that we're offended because we're not. Never find it yourself sideways with us, because we'll correct you right then, if they stop. But we don't do that. We're like, okay, and we'll make fun references to the inferior positions. That's why we keep going about prepositions. People go on and on and on, but they don't even know what objects or prepositions are. That's why we bring that up. But now maybe you know what the actual prepositions are. You can be mindful of them. So to have gauged information that says gauged information is, then you can have something to compare to. Oh, wait, we did this already. All we're saying is all those fun things that you're using to give comparison, to validate or vindicate, if our words are first in what you're looking for, then we would say, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. What we'll do now is when we hear words from Ion, we will enter it into the Wikipedia and make it so. And that sounds silly too, doesn't it? But it seems silly to say, hey, Ion, I heard your words, and I'm going to put them in the Wikipedia.
So, Ion, are you saying that we don't require comparisons anymore? Is this where we're just supposed to know?
No, we're saying the comparisons, we say comparisons are fine, but what you're comparing to is what something's been entered. It's not as right as what you're gauging it to. If some geneticist is on the phone.
Right, and we know that. I mean,
yeah,
we know that. That's what.
So then comparison doesn't compare. The comparison doesn't compare to anything yet.
No. All I do is Ian will say something, and I'll go and Google and say, oh, my gosh, they got two words right. Ion has, 100 words right. Isn't that cute? And that just reinforces the Ion message to me. Is that what you feel is happening, Eliza?
Yes, that, and also when Ion just gives us a phrase or a place, they don't give us the whole meaning or the reasoning or more information on that, so they leave it to us to go and get more information on that, because if we don't have access like Bob does, where he can just talk for hours with Ion, So we have to do what we can on our part, and that's looking the rest of the information up on Wiki or Google.
Yeah, I think we're good. We're good, Ion.
And that's wonderful. Now, what we're suggesting, however, is that if you want to use empirical references, take the empirical references and apply them into the Gutenberg galaxy. This is what Marshall McLuhan was saying all along. You want to know, but what you know is what you create. So the words that you're creating are creating, but then enter them into the Wikipedia, and that would be the same validation for us. But it's not about good or bad or up or down. It's about knowing things. But look where you come from. You started off, you didn't even know there was a non-physical. Now you've absolutely convinced, and even Donald Trump's convinced, that there is this precious, marvelous thing helping him become Bob's new president.
Okay, I want to let this person call in. I arranged this call. Wailuku, go ahead and ask your question.
I want to know if medically saving teeth when root canal therapy is indicated. There's a lot of people believe that that's going to create chronic disease in all cases. That's something that's very important to me. I'd like to know if it's that absolute or if we, by doing the right approach.
Not if you use ozone. If you use ozone, it won't. It's not ending too
right.
long or out of bounds. But, I mean, if you smear shit in it, it's probably going to get infected, but you don't want to really do that, do you?
I try to avoid smearing shit. I got that part.
That's
and
good.
I do use
that's
ozone.
Fine. Yeah, we know. We know.
Along the same lines, there's a lot of thought that titanium alloy implants in the living matrix of bone can create a chronic inflammatory response. That makes sense to me. And I'm wondering about the ceramics, the zirconium oxide. Is that a safe direction to go? I don't want to harm my patients. It's very important.
Oh, honey, don't worry about them damn patients. As long as their money checks are good, it's fine. Don't get all carried away about that. If they're ascending, it's going to be great. If they're not ascending, they're going to be dead soon anyway. So just do the best you can. It's a white-knuckle flight for them, too. You know, they don't bother to floss or brush or irrigate or do anything else to their mouth. And then they drag themselves into you to get all made to be Paula Deen Hollywood. And that's all good, a beautiful thing. So do that. That's just fine. Make them feel as good as you can. And don't worry about it because the RNA drops and then soon moving into your bread of life and the shift with the water will then eat the titanium. It'll eat the metal in your body and dispel and chelate the heavy metals out of your body. Now, we're not saying go eat mercury, but at the same time, if you do and have consumed a great deal of mercury, your RNA drops and your bread of life and living water will basically eat that up. And that's even as far as amalgams. And we're not saying put amalgams in your mouth. And if they're causing you disdain, of course, remove them. But you don't even have to hurry about that. It'll eat them. A lot of people will report this. This isn't your field. This is Bob's field. You'll hear people that have amalgam fillings, mercury fillings in their mouth, and they'll get on the RNA drops and they'll say, oh, my God, my filling fell out of my mouth. It just fell out. It'll just jump out of your mouth, literally. They have a great deal of that.
So ask that question again, Steve, that technical question that you ran by a minute ago. Do it again.
Is it more biologically sound, meaning less health challenging, not immune aggravating to, if an implant is indicated, to use a zirconium oxide material as opposed to a titanium alloy, which my research shows always is contaminated with aluminum, is that safe and sound?
Well, just describe precisely which type of aluminum that's offensive to you. Most of your world is an aluminum world, so you have tons of aluminum.
Right, but my question is, if we're implanting that material in the living matrix we call bone, that's bypassing the immune system.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's anchoring it. Sometimes it's making it an integral part of it. That's why we're saying, as a little man, you put all these rules and regulations. And we're saying, chill out. It's okay. If they're little men and they're not ascending, yes, that will kill the shit out of them. They will die. Dead as a hammer. Gone. Miss you. See, get them out. Get them out. Get them out of here. Get them out. Get them out. Get all those Bernieites. Get them out. Get some Bernies out of here. Get them back. Get out. Get out. Get out. You're fired. You're fired. Get out. They're going to go anyway.
So make them as comfortable as you can. But for the ones that are ascending, it won't make any difference. Choose the ones you prefer. It won't have any difference. You can mark it. Well, John Hopkins is working to death. You've given them, not you. Dr. Bain has given them many sleepless nights of late since her campaign to save Big Pharma has kicked into full gear now. It is wonderful. And we're thrilled about it to go in. Even the people with mesothelioma, they're finding out now, don't say this, Bob. Don't you tell this, Bob. We will get you, Bob, that the drops are helping mesothelioma patients that suffer with the chronic cancer in the lungs from asbestos. That's supposed to be bad, too.
Your phone's blipping out a bit, Ion. It's just sort of fading in.
Yeah,
but
we do that on purpose.
You can re-listen.
We don't want that. We don't want you spewing this poison we're talking right now.
Right.
We can't give you these kind of shivs will get you in trouble.
So, Steve, you can go back and hear this. I'll tell you where it is in the archives. But so Ion's talking. This is what I was telling you, Steve, about what the drops do to your teeth. So Ion's going to go on about the drops and the living water. So ask him from your professional perspective some details about what the drops do in the mouth.
I'm a new listener, so I'm just catching up to speed.
We're an old speaker. We're an old speaker.
I get that. Yeah, mechanistically, I would assume that I understand the role of RNA, so it's we're going to reprogram our genetic machinery and be able to overcome whatever toxic influence might be induced from any part of the environment.
There is no toxic. See, this heaven that's being created, we're getting it changed back the way it's supposed to be. We're getting it back to paradise that it was. So don't worry about it. It's not about how clean it is. God, if it was clean, clean is what killed it.
One of your factor boys are getting murdered in the background.
always. That's a little
fights going on.
You blew another valve, apparently.
Okay, back to you, Steve.
You know, chronic inflammation. It's just.
Well, take an antibiotic. Take an antibiotic. Inflammation. That's so funny. That's hysterical. So much fun.
I'm not getting all that. It's breaking up a little bit, but inflammation, not infection. Inflammation.
It's so funny. Inflammation. The inflammation comes as a protection mode. It's your body saying, "You're doing something to me. Save me. Keep me a little man. Make me little. I'm little. Keep me a little man. So I'm going to blow up, swell up, and then you have to put all kinds of salicylic acid on it.
Salicylic acid.
Mm.
White willow bark.
Mm. Ew.
I think I got that. I'm going to go back and listen to it again to make sure I absorbed what was
said. Now, ask about what you want to know. I guess if we were in your position, we would ask you a question. Hey, Ion, this would be our perfect question. Is there any way that we can know in our culling of potential clients or not potential clients, is there any way we can find out if they're ascending or not ascending? Because it certainly would make a difference in how we treat them in our medical office, wouldn't it?
Sounds good.
Like no, that's question. Not yeah. Down, that is the question. So, is there a way you can tell?
Are you asking me, or are you going to answer that question?
Yeah, we're asking you because we just told you if you're ascending, do it one way, and if they're not ascending, they're going to be dead anyway. So you have to be the other way. So you have to have both sides. You have to have. We're talking about a level of care. This is a level of care. And if you're going to be holistic or holistic or the holy orifices, or wait, the holy orifices. CKLN. If you're going to be all that, you got to know who you're working with. You got to know. If you're working with the little ones, you got to know what to do. And if you're working with the ascendants, you got to know what to do. They're different. You're not going to treat an ascending God like you would your little ridiculous people who don't brush and floss their teeth. You're not going to treat them the same. They're not the same. So you better come up with a way. Excuse me. Just like Gozar the Gozarian in Ghostbusters, you might start the conversation with, "Are you a God?" And let them say yes or no. And if they're not, smear them with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And if they are, you better nar a god and treat them differently. You can make them look prettier, faster.
I think I got most of that.
Yeah. So just put in there, are you affiliated with Dr. Carolyn Dean and RNA Reset in any way? And if that's a check, yes or no, then good, then good. Then you know they're not immunocompromised.
Ah. Yeah, so that's part of the program.
It'll help you.
I'm coming into it. I'm getting that message, so.
You want some money?
Hey,
Bob's got us.
Hey, Steve, he offered some of my money. He says, you want some money? Bob's got lots.
Isn't that an interesting
so Steve,
comment, Bob? Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah. Okay, ask not a dental question. Ask one of those some of those topics we talked about, or what's going on in Maui with the property of the old sugarcane plantation. Ask about that property there. What's going on, or whatever it was you were interested in.
What can we do to convert the agricultural, at least some of the agricultural interests and resources here, to do something intelligent like create food that creates health for human beings?
Everything north of Hanson Road we already have. Just east of the central, north of Hanson Road, but just this side of the central power plant, we got that.
We got that, meaning that's going to go in the right direction and be a positive influence on our future here.
I don't know about you, Bert. We don't know about ours. Oh, they blew another one. We don't know for sure, but there's 570 acres there. 570 acres there that we already saw.
They get sucked out the portal.
There's a lot happening there.
So, chaos going on behind him. Yeah, he's talking about controlling. A certain part of Maui is under control, Steve. But carry on. What's going on at the sugar factory?
Well, Alexander and Baldwin have decided by the twisting of an arm that they will yield those acres to the trust, Bob.
Well, you see that, Steve? He knows the name. I never mentioned Baldwin to him. He knows it.
I'm catching on, Bob. So, Bob, I just thought of another question back to my original work. So is it a helpful thing, or could RNA drops be utilized in my practice to help with my patient's well-being, maybe to administer some sublingual drops or delivery system at the time of treatment, that kind of thing? Is it something to be integrated in a regular practice that would enhance outcomes?
Before you start, you need to start them off. Everybody coming in should be given a prophylactic dose of Realign, for sure, to help burn some of the natural crap that they got going on. Start them off there. You're missing some of the major benefits that has all the way around. Some people should be taking it all along, especially those that are compromised already. But see, you're not going to get the normal people. You're going to get like Carol. You're going to get the ones just to the edge of the damn grave that you'll take a hammer and knock the fly off their head with the hammer instead of spending all this energy trying to save these ridiculous, inappropriate in every way people that are surely doomed to death anyway. Kill them. Get it on with. Get the Kool-Aid. Well, the Kool-Aid form is not quite ready yet. We're working on the Kool-Aid, so just get them out of their misery. Save lots of resources. But the normal ones, you can start them on Realign right through the door. When they come in to sign in, you take two of these. That's how you start that. And then if they take it, it'll help bring out some of the nasties. Not in the detox. We don't even like that word. We don't know what it means. It's some glib thing that bumps out of that. Crap. It's a mess. And then what happens is then you can bring them, once you get them stable and in line, then you can start introducing the RNA drops. Just like one drop under the tongue, and next thing you know, it's like crap. That kind of happen.
Okay. We got to have one drop after stable. Okay.
Hey, Steve, you can go on our RNAReset.com, and you can see the Realign product. It's on there, R-E-A-L-I-N-E.
I've sampled some.
Now go to another topic. Go to the conspiracy topic or whatever other topic you're interested in that you wonder about.
We're good with orgasms, too.
I'm happily married. I'm covered.
If you're not nutting right, though, that's not good. You got to let the little man out of the boat. Are you able to do that progressively?
Let the little man out of the what? I'm not doing
knock the boat. Little man out of the boat.
Yes, I am familiar with that, and yes. And
you're good at that?
Successful. good at that?
Successful.
Yes.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere.
Ask something you've wondered about in world news.
To me, the biggest picture is it's hard not to notice that it seems like the bad guys are winning. I mean, I don't mean to be dark, but...
No, they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not winning at all.
I'm glad to hear that. It seems that way.
It won't seem that way if you keep listening to this show.
I'm finding it interesting, so I'll maintain my interest.
Well, try it again.
Ask another dental question. The point is, it's an endless resource, Steve.
I think one of the bigger issues I see in my patients is I'm to infection, but the chronic spirochete infection known as gum disease is harmful in the long run. I think shortens people's lives, creates chronic disease. Is RNA the answer to that? I mean, how do we break that cycle of chronic infection and help people achieve their full dimension of health? Is that okay, Bob?
Okay, he was asking you, Bob, not us. He asked you, Bob.
No,
not
he
us.
Was asking you. He was asking you.
He asked Bob.
He was asking you.
Do it again, Steve. So, Ion, one of the biggest issues I see in the health of my patient population is the chronic bacterial spirochete infection known as gum disease or periodontitis. It seems to be a tough nut to crack, how do we break the cycle of that chronic infection and help people get to their full level of vital health?
Give them live doses of that nastiness. Spray them down in it. They'll be very, very, very uncomfortable for about 5 days. But if they live, they won't have that trouble no more.
I didn't catch the dose of what?
Of the infection, whatever's causing the infection. Coat them in it. Lather them in it. Dose them in it. Dip them in a tank of it. Make them be all that it is. And once they're complete, full frontal nudity involved in it, guess what? They'll go, ew, and then they won't have any problem with it anymore. And they can live in the septic tank.
What's causing the infection, Ion? What substance?
Infection.
Infection.
You take the infection and you put
itself.
It on. Yeah,
the substance
that's what
itself.
The infection is. That's what he's fussing about is infection. It's about the infection. So the infection is infecting the patients, and they're infected because they have infection, so they're infected. So the infection is coming over, so give them some damn infection. Excuse me, is this going to cause an infection? No, we're going to put the infection on you right now. We're going to settle it. You're already going to be exposed. You are going to be infected. We're going to infect you. So the infection is on. So you're infected. So now we don't have to talk about that no more. And then if you live, come back and see me. If you don't, we don't have to have this conversation anymore, and we're good. And your clientele will flourish, we promise.
It sounds to me like you're talking homeopathy. Like cures like. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you're confusing that with tittle biology.
Total biology, not tittle.
No, it's tittle. It's a whit and a tittle of biology.
I don't know that word.
You think your bum is sore, your bum is sore. There you go. So what were you doing to make your bum sore? You were thinking about your bum being sore. So if God takes a dump on your head, you craft it into a hat that says, when God takes a dump on your head, craft it into a hat that says, and it goes on kind of a circle, a circular.
Are you avoiding making serious statements, Ian, because you don't want to be libelous or libeled? Or
well, how more specific could we say when you coat them in the infection, then they won't be coated with the infection? We're saying give them a dose of what they're concerned of. Give them a dose of what they're concerned of.
Why should Steve trust you?
He shouldn't trust you. He should come into his godship and do his thing called living. He should not trust anything. Trust is what you form when you're afraid of the government.
Ion, that was a good question, though, that what about saturating someone with the homeopathic of the spirochete and the bacteria?
And you can do it topically. You can literally rub it on their outer dermis, this same infection, and it'll do the same thing. The body will absorb it, assimilate it, and move, because there's a whole lot of nastiness that's roaming around.
that you have no problem with. We have great fun when people say, we're going to get rid of staph. We're going to take care of staph. Well, you'll kill the entire planet, because without staph eating the outer dermis of your skin off, you'd all be dead.
But back to the homeopathic application, you've always said eat sewage and roll in the ragweed and overdo it on the thing that your body did. Is it because the body no longer is recognizing the spirochete and the bacteria enough to take care of it, and you just want to wake it up? That's right. So we can
but
use
not,
homeopathy.
But homeopathy, more times than every single time without fair exception, doesn't use enough. It takes a tenth. It takes a gnat's ass and tries to make it be a whole gnat. No, that's just the gnat's ass. If you could do homeopathy on steroids and blast it, okay, then good.
And what would you
okay,
do?
Well,
homeopathy to the tenth square, okay, fine. Just like you're trying to take every mineral that's important to the replication of perfect cells, Carolyn, that you're trying to make them the smallest, the tiniest that you can, these infections and plights and plagues and nastiness, you need to make them as big as you possibly can. Then they'll never get into the cells at the cellular level. You're going to blow them up and take the minerals and bring them down. So
ahead,
every
Steve.
Conversation, if you think about it that way, you're going to win, because the body's going to say, oh, pine pollen. We don't have any problem with pine pollen. It's so big it can't even get in us. It makes our driveways yellow, but it doesn't cause us to have the sniffles or aspirate or have all these little problems. So it's a balance. We're talking about balance while you're becoming an ascended man. Now, we are for the ascension now. We're not much for the little man. If you want to get out, don't be wasting Dr. Dean's time, because she's got better things to do.
But what about the delivery system? Can you elaborate on that?
Smear it on the skin. Make a little salve. Put you, get you up some pretty good quality butt grease, a good ointment of some kind, and squirt it full of that icky nastiness and smear it on them. Or put in the hand pump soap in your bathroom when they wash their hands, like you think they actually wash their hands. It's like dentists not peeing in their sink. You know, you just can't get past all that. But anyway, put some of it in the soap pump. Let everybody wash their hands in it all the time. That'll solve it.
Regular applications.
Yeah. And all you're doing is exposing it. And once you're exposing it, it's like polio. Nobody dies of polio no more. People don't even know what polio is anymore.
That's interesting, Carol. The minerals, which the body wants, are tiny, and the stuff you don't want are big. You like that? You like that logic?
I like that, but I'm still wondering which homeopathic quantity or quality to use. As you know, Ion, we use like 6X or C or M and go up to 6, 12, 30, 100, 200, 1,000. So how about using generational homeopathy where you have a harmonic, like you get a spirochete and use a 6, 12, 30, 100, 200 all in the same mix? Would that make it big enough for the body to recognize? Because I'm not going to take a live spirochete and smear it on someone. I want to use it in a better, more ethical way. So, harmonic homeopathy.
Well, it's okay, but if you don't get it big enough, then you're going to have to put thimerosal in it to preserve it. So you'll kill them with mercury poisoning before you ever help them with their infection. So we get it. So if the harmonics allow you to prescribe the degree of fucked upness that the patient has, okay, then that's all right with us. That's fine. If they're really messed up, you know, just let them die. They'll be gone soon. It won't be that big a deal. It'll be fine. They couldn't expect much more than that. So, yes, build it up, mix it up, do those levels, but max it out as fast as you can. If that first round doesn't kill them, double it. You'll be all right.
So it's almost sounding like it's culture them out rather than do the other end of the spectrum is the energetic imprint with no actual atoms.
Well, it's never about the atoms. It's always about the bonds. It's about the ionic bonds. It's about the space. It's about the interval. Everybody has these very things that you're saying that they're dying of. Everybody has it. Just some people are impeded by it, and others are not. The distance of why they are not is because of the distance in the space and the molecular makeup of how the ions bind and bond. It's like the little C's. Remember the little C's on the super sugar and the C's connecting the little C's and the little heart shape? Yep. It's all about that. It's about your connection of your bonds. It has nothing to do with atomic levels of proscription.
I agree with that, that the people, why some people have the organism and don't have the disease process and others do. It's about the bond. So is that bond in the individual's immunity response, or is it in the toxicity? I guess both would apply.
Neither.
Apply. Okay. Enlighten me.
Okay. Do you know a good working definition of an ionic bond?
It's about sharing electrons, basically, right?
No, it's transfer of valence electrons. So you have a valence and a valence. If you know the difference between a valence and a valence, then you know that that generates two oppositely charged ions, or the bond. And if you have the metal loses electrons, they become positively charged, cation. Whereas a non-metal accepts those electrons and becomes a negatively charged anion. And the anion is what will give you the base run. Say you have a zero charge. Now you're trying to make one bond to another and adding and subtracting ions to it. Let's say you take sodium chloride. The sodium atom donates an electron to the chlorine atom, forming an ionic bond. Now, you can break those bonds, as you know, rip them. Carolyn's doing some incredible work. Oh, wait, no, sorry, we can't talk about that. They almost tricked us into saying shit, Carolyn. You hear him? He's goading us like a bad habit. He's just playing us like a fiddle. Boy, trying to get us to tell all the stuff. We was born in the morning, but not this morning, just so you know. No, anyway, she's working on some super, super top secret. Kill your damn Ashley material that is coming, so don't worry about that. But anyway, we won't be talking about that for sure. That's the main part we won't be talking about. As far as not talking about things, those are the things we're not going to talk about, really, really, really. So anyhow, when you have those bonds, say like in super sugar, that becomes a whole new thing that you can take what is known as what you call a half-life radioactive material and make it stable. Like H197 would still have its half-life, but it would no longer be radioactive. The radioactivity is contained in those bonds. You can do the same thing with every disease, every cancer, and like her cell A formulas, by the way, you just change and adjust any malignancy to basically eradicate cancer completely. And so she's higher minded than most people. Most people are just stupid. They don't know things, but she does. And so she recognizes it for what it is and just takes it at the simplest level, base level. And everybody's just praising Carolyn. Praise her. Praise Carolyn.
Carolyn, Steve's evoking some interesting information there.
Yeah, well,
praise Steven.
Yeah, it's electrostatic attraction.
Well, that's why ozone's so effective, right? It's an anion.
It is. It is. But now don't get too hooked up on that ozone because it's soon going to be gone. That's fixing to be poison. We told you to poison them. Well, that's what you're doing with that ozone. It's an oxidizer. It's what's not cleaning it up. It's what's burning it out. And we like that just fine. You keep using that ozone. We think it's wonderful. When the hydrogen increases just a little bit more, it'll be beautiful. We'll be so excited. We're so happy on the anniversary of Fukushima to share this moment with you all.
I'll have to keep absorbing that.
You are absorbing it. That's exactly right. Al2SO4. Okay, there's a quiz. Quick, first one up. Who's got the rest of the formula? Just for the new guy.
So the formula.
The formula. What the environment's coming to.
Years ago, Stephen, Ion gave us a long formula, which we all have in our computers. I'm not near mine right now, but it starts with Al2SO4 and goes on and on and on as the chemical structure of the new environment that we are creating with our iCell and all the things we're doing, all combined with Fukushima and all the nastiness.
So we're creating a more ideal environment dealing. I'm still catching up, Carolyn, sorry.
Bob's only been doing this for a minute, and he's still behind, too, so don't worry. Bob's still hanging on by his fingernails anyway, so don't worry. You're doing great.
Okay, well, I'll keep working at it.